We have the treat today of hearing one of few passages in the gospel where the disciples actually get it right. Normally, Peter or somebody else says something and then quickly inserts their foot into their mouth. Last week, we had the encounter between Mary and Martha in Bethany, where Martha ends up rebuking and ordering the Lord to tell her sister to help her serve. And there are other occasions like that that, at least for me, are very easy to relate to the disciples with and our mistakes in our relationship with the Lord. But today, they get it right. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think this flows very naturally out of last week's gospel, where Jesus draws this comparison between Martha and Mary and explains to all of us how there is that double element of our life as Christian, the contemplative side and the active side, and the priority within that that our prayer has, so that our prayer, our relationship, our union with God informs and motivates all that we do. So last week we had the why. What's the point? Why should we care about this? And then this week we have, so how do we do that? And I think our Lord gives us kind of three points that we can kind of reflect on. In this first point, where he gives us the Our Father, he gives us a prayer that he himself is the one who teaches it. He himself is the one that changes all of the history of God's interaction with mankind and says, call God Father. And that's the foundation of our relationship of prayer, that in our baptism, like we heard in the second reading, we're united with Christ in his death, and we're united to him in the hope for the resurrection. And because of that, we too can call God our Father. We're his children. And that is a great source of hope. Going through an entire explanation of all of the petitions of the Our Father is not what I want to do today, and probably not what any of you really want to hear. But the two main parts of it are giving God his due as Father, as God, praising and seeking that his kingdom come, that his will be done. And then on the other side of it, it's us realizing our dependence on God, that everything we have, everything we need, our daily bread, comes from him alone. Then our Lord goes into this parable that really well mirrors these events of Abraham and God in the first reading. Abraham goes through this whole list, this whole exercise of mathematics, subtracting 5 every single time. But the point of it is his persistence and his boldness in this conversation that he's having with God. And our prayer in and of itself is nothing other than a conversation with God. And then our Lord echoes this in the persistence of the friend who keeps knocking at the door, keeps seeking what he needs from his other friend, so that something good can come of it. And our Lord is encouraging us, not for God's sake, to keep being persistent in prayer, because as we read elsewhere in the scriptures, God already knows what we need before we ask him. So it's not for our sake, or not for God's sake that we're persistent, but it is for our sake. Because if we exercise this repeated going to God, this repeated entrusting ourselves to God, this repeated dependence on God, then we, in a way, exercise and fulfill our role as the child who turns to the Father seeking what is right. And the more we go back to God, the more we petition him, the more we make an act of faith that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. And then our Lord wraps it up with this kind of interesting thing about ask and you shall receive, and then, although you are wicked, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give you what is good? And I think what he's keying in on there is that when we pray, what we're really seeking, and this is what the disciples saw in Christ that compelled them to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, is that gift of the Holy Spirit. So at the times when it doesn't feel like our prayers are being heard, when we keep going back to God as his sons and daughters, and we're seeking and trying and looking for the help that can only come from God, and it seems like no one's there. It can be similar to those cases when a child keeps tugging on the parent's leg and is seeking something, and the parent says, "No, not now." I know that was a lesson that I had to learn growing up, that not everything I asked my mom and dad for was given to me right away. But they saw the bigger picture. They knew what was truly good. And our Lord in this case is saying, what's truly good is that union, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if we have that, if we have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, then nothing else matters. All of the other practicalities, all of the other things we might ask God to help us with, which can be very good, even in the case of praying for someone who is sick, praying for somebody who needs to find a job, praying for somebody who is undergoing financial difficulties, or is just faced with a big decision in life to make. All of those things are good things, and if it doesn't seem like God is answering our prayers for that thing, then perhaps there is something else that if we're truly united to the Holy Spirit, we can understand why God is allowing that and what God is trying to teach us through that. And we have to trust in that, even when it's difficult. And I think that all of this, this instruction that our Lord gives us in prayer, I find very interesting, because there are many times in the Gospels where they just say, and Jesus sat down and taught the crowds. And they never actually took notes on what he was saying, which I think would be pretty interesting. But in this case, we do get that. We get, this is how he taught us about prayer. And I think we can always go back to that, because what it is, what they saw, is that Jesus Christ, as a man, lived his life in union with God the Father. And the disciples found that incredibly compelling. Jesus came, yes, to save us from sin, to die and to rise again, so that we could be fully united with God once more in heaven. And yet, he also came to show us how we can live out our lives in this world, in this life, in union with God as a foretaste of heaven. And every aspect of our lives can be caught up in that union with God, from the way we deal with our family relationships, which, as we, I'm sure everybody has seen the cover of the bulletin and Father Jamie's ramblings this week about this being NFP Awareness Week, the natural family planning is a way in which our prayer life, our union with God, enters into an aspect of our humanity that, yes, is very personal, but is also, when united to God, incredibly beautiful and fruitful. And the same can be said for any other aspect of our lives, our workplace, our relationships with our friends, our struggles that we have to try to live virtuously. All of that, if we live it in union with God, can bear much fruit. And it's that union with God, that petitioning repeatedly for the Holy Spirit in our lives, that allows us to do that. And what better place do we have to enter into that union with God, to enter into that unity between Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, than in the Eucharist? So as we go forth into this Mass, as we pray together the Mass, let us pray that our Lord teach us and fill us with that desire to live united to the Holy Spirit, with that desire to have that union as the foundation of all else that we do.